Okay, so Parshas Tetzaveh. So yes, it is true that this week we had plenty of, I had all types of exciting options to talk about. But I think it is important to try to see what we can get from Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei. It is hard sometimes to make out, get through all the details and get things out of it. But I do want to try to understand a little bit of this parsha. So, in order to do that, I really want to contrast Truma and Tetzaveh, because Truma, in our minds, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei is one big long parsha of the Mishkan. It's the first time around, the second time around. Now we understand that there's a bit of difference, but often we have a double parsha, Truma, Tetzaveh, and then what the difference is between any of these parshas, we have no idea. Right, Truma, okay, discusses the building of the Mishkan. Tetzaveh discusses the begadim of the Kohanim. Fine, and then Vayakel Pekudei repeats it. But are they getting at different things? Is there a progression through the parashiyot? Are there themes that are developing as we move through? That's what I want to try to cover in just the short time that we have. So, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Truma, you'll notice something interesting, at least when you think about it in the context of Tetzaveh. Who is the hero of Parshas? Well, let's start with the easier one. Who's the hero of Parshas Tetzaveh? Right, it's not really a story in that sense, but who's the hero of Parshas Tetzaveh? Aaron, right? Aaron the Kohanim, right? And the psukim open that way, right? With Va'atat Tetzaveh ben Israel v'chui lech Hashem en Zayit Zach Atid l'ma'or la'lot ner tamid be'ol mo'ed nechutz v'arochet asher alayidut. Here, what happened? I don't know what happened. Yaroch oto Aaron uvanav me'erev ad boker lefnei Hashem chukat olam l'dor adam me'ed b'nei Yisrael. Right, so we start with command b'nei Yisrael within the context of their commandment to get really the Jews, and how exactly those are connected is an interesting question. To get Aaron and his children to ensure that the menorah will be lit, right, that there will always be the Shemen Zayit in the Mishkan, and then starting in Pasuk Chav Chet, it's even clearer. Vata Hakrevi Lechad Aaron Achicha VeBanavi Tomi Toch Bnei Yisrael Lachano Li, and you should get Aaron and his children; they will be the Kohanim for me. Aaron Nadav Avihu Elazar VeItamar Bnei Aaron. Now we tend to think that Tetzaveh, in that sense, is really just a continuation of Truma, meaning we know that's coming. We know the end of the story, right? We're aware that the Kohanim will be working in the Beit Hamikdash, so we read Truma and we read Tetzaveh, and we're sort of anticipating it. Truma is building the Mishkan, and then once you talk about the building of the Mishkan, so then we're going to get to the description of the work in the Mishkan, or the people who are going to work in the Mishkan, and how we prepare that, how we get to that point. But we sort of lose the fact that there's actually a different emphasis as to the role of the Mishkan, the connection between the Jews and God and the Mishkan, the imminence of God and the Mishkan, that takes place in that transition. Because if you look back at Parshas Truma, it starts off, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'ikhuli truma me'ed kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu et trumati. And Parshas Truma starts off with Hashem telling Moshe to command the Jews to get a truma for me, donations for me from everybody who wants to bring it. Vizora truma asher tikhu me'itam zav achesev v'nuchoshet. And this is the truma, and goes on. Now, the word truma becomes the central meaning of it becomes in Chumash, not normally what it means here, but it becomes the Kohanim. But in Truma, that's not it. In Truma, there is a Truma, but the Truma is to God. But the framing of the Mishkan in Parshas Truma at the beginning is that it's direct. The Jews give straight to God. There's no intermediary. And that's sort of the feeling you get when you start. And right, it continues this way, right? You get the do you want another piece of cocoa, Mayor? No? Okay. You get the description of what you're going to have in the Mishkan, and then 8 psukim later, you get Vasu li mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham. Right up at front, you hear the Jews shall give me a truma directly to me, and I will dwell directly among them. And if I just stop there, you would think that the Mishkan is this place of constant imminence, where the Jews are having this interaction straight with God. Right? God, there is no need for a Kohen. God is your, right, you have a direct connection with God, and that's all there is to it. But, right, it's not that simple. If you continue through Truma, in Truma you do, right, you do see this, but in Truma there is somebody who is an intermediary, but who is the intermediary between the Jews and God in Parshas Truma? What? Moshe. Right, if you look in Pasuk Chav Bet, in Perek Chav Hei, it's Vinoadti Lecha Sham. Moshe is told that Hashem will meet with him there, meaning above the Kruvim, over the Aron. V'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaporet mibein shnei ha-kruvim, asher ha-aron ha-idud, et kol asher ha-tzaveh utchot el b'nei Yisrael, and everything that I want to say, I'll tell you. So there is an intermediary, but think about who the intermediary is. This is basically Har Sinai all over again, as the Ramban notes. The Mishkan is the recreation of Har Sinai. There's God's presence. There's Moshe going into God's presence, into Kodesh HaKadoshim. He talks to Moshe. Moshe conveys it to B'nai Yisrael. So you start off, you don't hear anything about any intermediaries. All you have is God's imminence amongst the Jews. And then you find out, well, at least the communication part of it, there will be an intermediary, but it's going to be the same intermediary you had at Har Sinai. And remember, at Har Sinai, it wasn't Moshe by himself. Everyone was sort of watching Moshe and partaking in this experience. Right? Truma presents the vision of imminence, right? With Moshe acting as a somewhat an intermediary, but there aren't representatives of the Jews working. There's just God, Moshe, and the Jews, and that's it. And if you stopped at Truma, that's sort of what the picture you would get. Now, that may be, and this is something I'll develop more tomorrow, that may be the ideal. It's very possible that the reason Truma present it as if this is the whole story, because that's really the ideal. The ideal of the Mishkan is to create a situation of imminence. But the ideal is not always practical. The ideal is not always real. It should be this way. It theoretically could be this way, but realistically, that's not how life works. And we know that this is true at Har Sinai, right? That the Jews are separated by multiple levels. They're watching, but they're separated by a few levels. And they can't actually see God because there's clouds. Right? God's imminence is a very dangerous thing. Right? We find that out more in the story of the Egel. That God's imminence can destroy you if you make a single mistake. So while in theory you may want God's imminence of a Shachanti Bitocham, with no intermediaries working on your behalf and just Moshe going there to convey information, but that's about it. That's an extremely hard existence to keep up. And we find out in the Egel story, what happens when you're living in that existence, which God says, look, they sinned, I'm going to destroy them. And Moshe has to talk God out of it and say, well, don't do it. And even when they manage to recreate the relationship, it's not the same that it was. God says, look, first, I don't really want to have a relationship with you. And if I do, it'll be through a malach. And even once God agrees to recreate a relationship, it's via the Yud Gimel Midah HaRachamim, which had to be introduced then. Before, there was no Rachamim. There was no weakening of God's, you know, strict justice. And we learn that while the ideal might be v'shachanti b'tocham, that's not actually realistic. But there is a middle way. And the middle way is to say, okay, we understand that imminence is really dangerous. We understand that it's overwhelming. But we don't want to give up on it totally. Let's set up a hierarchy. Let's set up intermediaries. Not the way the Egel is an intermediary. Let's set up, right? Let God say, well, this is the safe way, the way to approach me, and you'll be protected. Now, how is that? That's tzitzaveh. Right? Tzitzaveh is, v'ata akrevi lechad aron achicha v'banav ito mitoch b'nei Yisrael l'chanoli. And here you hear, if in Truma, the Jews were giving objects straight to God, what are they giving God in tzitzaveh? Well, no, they're giving the Kohanim. They're giving the Kohanim, right? You listen to the words. It's Hakrev Elecha Aron Achicha VeBanav Ito Mitoch Bnei Yisrael L'Chan Oli. Now the Jews are giving something else. They're giving intermediaries, right? God is saying, look, Truma may be the ideal, but that's not realistic. You can't all be in the Mishkan. You can't be experiencing me constantly, and Moshe can't do it by himself. But I want a connection. So how are you going to move from the ideal to the real? By saying, okay, why don't you appoint representatives? I'll tell you to appoint. But it's not I'm appointing them. You send your representatives, and then you will have a connection to me in the Mishkan in a safe way, in a way that I've described that it will work. And then you hear that what does Aharon wear? Right? What is perhaps the key to understanding this relationship? What does Aharon wear on his, right, over his heart? He wears the choshen. And what does the choshen have on it? We find out in Pasuk Chavtet, of Perek Chavtet, V'nasa Aharon et shmot b'nei Yisrael b'choshen ha-mishpat al-libo v'vo'o el ha-kodesh l'zikaron l'fnei Hashem tamid. That Aharon will take the names of the Jews into the Mishkan when he goes in, so that the names of the Jews will be there constantly. So while in Truma, who came before God? Moshe. And what was before God? V'no'ati l'chasham, only above the Kodesh Kodeshim, that place that no one can access. But now, Aharon will be wearing the Jews, and we describe suddenly not just the Kodesh Kodeshim and the Aharon as l'fnei Hashem, but everywhere that Aharon happens to be, anywhere in the Mishkan, as l'fnei Hashem tamid. So it seems like there's a continuum. What the parshiot are trying to do is not just present all the laws, right? And there's no order to it. It's, look, we got to talk to the Mishkan, we got to talk to the Kohanim, we could have started with one without the other. No, there's a progression. First, Truma tells you the ideal. We don't hear about Kohanim, we hear about God and the Jews and Moshe a little bit in between. Because God is telling us, look, the ideal really, if I could, would be to let you all have an immediate relationship with me. And even if I couldn't do that, so I'd have one person who's particularly close and you could watch him talking, just like you did at Har Sinai. But I understand that's not real, so let me give you a second model. But first I have to describe what the ideal would look like. Then Tetzaveh tells you, okay, but how do we move from ideal to real? By appointing intermediaries. And there's a different way that you will be Lefanai Tamid. Not Moshe in the Kodesh HaKadashim, but Aharon with the Choshen, with the names of Bnei Yisrael. V'natata el Choshen HaMishpat Urim Tumim V'ayu Alev Aharon B'vo'o L'fnei Hashem. Now it's not Moshe coming before God, it's Aharon. But B'vo'o L'fnei Hashem means something different. Right? Moshe, it was V'no'ati L'chasham, it was Kodesh HaKadashim, it was the ideal, it was the highest place, the most dangerous place, the most imminent place. Now we start describing things as Lifnei Hashem that are not Kodesh HaKadoshim, that are a little bit removed. That's also Lifnei Hashem. Right? It's a bit more realistic. It's our own. It's our representative rather than, you know, Moshe, who's this, you know, quasi, you know, Moshe is Moshe. Right? It's our own who comes from among the people. And he has on his heart, he has the names of the Jewish people. And that theme continues. Because here, again, we will, right, I mean, this notion comes up, right, over and over again, right, talking about the Begadim and how they'll represent it, but later on, you also hear about another revelation of God. But this is not the revelation of the Aharon, it is the revelation of, right, how does the parasha end? Well, yes, end of the Mishkan. Right? If you look, of the Mizbeach. Right? If you look at the end of the parsha, you find about the Tamid. Right? And the Torah tells you, Ola Tamid L'dor Techem Petach Omoed L'fnei Hashem Asher, and here's the key word, Ivaid L'chem Shama L'daberi L'ch Hashem, where I'll meet with you. But wait a second, he's not meeting with you by the Mizbeach. Parsha Truma told you that God only meets with Moshe in Kodesh HaKadashim, by the Kaporet. And now suddenly we hear that by the Karbanot, Asher Iva'id Lachem Shama. No, I'm not meeting you inside. I'm meeting you outside, where all of you can see. Every day when Aharon is bringing the Tamid that's collected from the money of the Jews, from the Machza Shekel, year by year. No, I'm not meeting with, it's not only that I meet with Moshe in the holiest place, I meet with you outside as well. V'no'adti Shama L'vnei Yisrael V'nikdash B'chvodi, and I'll meet you there to the Jews. And you'll be sanctified in my honor. V'kidashti et olmoed v'et ha-mizbeach v'et Aharon v'et banav v'et kadesh l'chaon oli. And I will sanctify the olmoed and the mizbeach and Aharon and his children so that they will be my kohanim. V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And now again, and I will dwell amongst the Jews. V'yiti lohem le'lohim. V'yadu ki ani Adonai Eloheihem asher hoteiti otam eretz Mitzrayim l'shachni v'tocham ani Adonai Eloheihem. So it seems like Truma and Tetzaveh aren't just two halves of the story, but they're specifically organized so that Truma precedes Tetzaveh, so that they can slowly introduce to you the notion of an ideal and a real, of a theoretical possibility of the Jews having an immediate relationship where they give the Truma to God, right? Where they directly contribute to God, and they basically have an unmediated relationship except for the actual information. They know Moshe is going on their behalf. There's one person who can speak to God, the holiest person, the greatest Navi ever, but basically it's from the Mokom HaKodesh HaKadoshim. It's this high, rarefied recreation of Sinai. That's the ideal, because God tells us, yeah, that's the relationship I want to have with you, but I'm also realistic. I get it. That can happen. So after I've built the Mishkan, I've told you what the Mishkan is ideally, let me tell you how practically we're going to approach the ideal as much as we can. We can't get all the way, but let me show you what it's going to look like. So now, don't just give me, don't give me materials. Give me representatives. Give me people who can be between you, and you're going to give them Truma, not me. Right? You're not going to have an unmediated relationship. You'll have a mediated relationship, but that's okay. Because they will represent you. Aaron will bring the Choshen in with your names. And I'm also going to meet with him. I'm also going to meet with the Jewish people. But it's not just in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a second place where I meet you, and that is on the Mizbeach. And I'm not meeting with Moshe. Right? In Truma, it's V'no'ati Lecha. I will meet you, Shama. Right? I'll meet Moshe. Because the imminence is so great, it's not actually Jewish people, right? They're close, but they can't really meet with God. Here, it's, I'll meet with the Jewish people. V'no'ati shama livnei Yisrael. Because once you've set up the safeguards, you've set up the system that allows the Jews to build the relationship in stages, and allows there to be a hierarchy, that allows there to be a system that's safer, right, that allows you to approach but not be too close to God's imminence, to recognize the dangers of coming too close to the all-consuming fire that is God. Right, then I'll have a relationship with you directly, quote-unquote directly. Right? It's ironic. Right? The more direct the relationship in Truma, the less likely the Jews can actually meet with God. But in Tetzaveh, where it's not direct, where we put safeguards in place, so then it'll be a slightly diluted or a slightly protected relationship, but I'm no longer just meeting with Moshe. If you follow my rules and you set up the proper guards and the proper intermediaries, that will not keep you far from me. That's what makes it that I'm no longer just meeting with Moshe, I'm meeting with you in the world of the Mizbeach, not just the world of the Aron. So I think it's important to pay attention to Truma Tetzaveh, and not just as if it was one parsha, but recognize the continuum, recognize that Hashem is slowly teaching us both the ideal, but also the pragmatic way that we approach God, so that in the end, not only will we be talking to Moshe from the Aron, but that he'll meeting with the Jewish people in the Mizbeach, in the opening of the Olam HaMoed, and will truly have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And good